Welcome. This is Winning at Life. It is the Daily Wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Get the phone, make the call.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. The phones are still working. The app is still working. The streams are not working as far as the video stream. So Periscope, Facebook Live, out. Everything else is working. The iHeartRadio app still working. Winning at Life app still working. Podcasts will still work. But the phones, keep them coming. 504-260-0995. We are live today, and we're going to cover some news and then get into some of the best calls of 2018. But don't let that stop you from being another call of 2018. I mean, it may be mediocre, may not make the best list, but we'd still love to have you. 504-260-0995. A couple of points of order. Can we just go over a couple of news items real quick, Gregory, before we jump into the calls?
Yep.
All right. We covered this pretty good on the Saturday show, but if you weren't here for the weekend spectacular, the podcast is up at the Winning at Life app. But a judge ruled Obamacare unconstitutional. This is a guy out of Texas. Of course, this is going to be immediately repealed. Nothing changes today that was different from last week. But if this ruling stands, I should say, this will take the rest of the law down with it. Quick summary. The case argues that the rest of the law is unconstitutional without the mandate because findings made as part of the passage of the original statute would say that the mandate is not severable from the rest of the legislation. And so in other court dealings that made this thing constitutional to begin with, they held the basic idea that Congress never intended for the rest of the law to exist apart from the mandate. So judging some appeals as it stands right now, Obamacare is circling the drain. I do not think that this will just naturally run its course and go through the rest of its life cycle. There's going to be an appeals process that could very likely make all of this a non-story. And then also the more likely scenario is there's going to be some legislation passed that would change some of the rest of the law or amend it or pass some sort of replacement so they can keep the pre-existing conditions or whatever else they have their mindset on.
Well, it turns out they did unwind it. I don't know. And I don't recall back then saying, yeah, this is going to be the nail in the coffin when it was added to the budget bill end of 2017. And it turns out, yeah, the fee, the tax, the penalty for not having insurance, pretty big deal.
All right, so we'll keep an eye on that. Also, there was an anniversary that happened today. Today is the one-year anniversary of the all-time historic high for Bitcoin, the first and most widely known of the cryptocurrency world. They were having fun with that on Fox Business today, and I was enjoying them having fun with it. It was a year ago today that Bitcoin broke $19,000 for one. One Bitcoin was worth $19,000 and a little bit of change. I think it got up to like $19,400, $19,600, something like that. But these days, today, I believe when I looked this afternoon, $3,800. Is that right, Gregory? Bitcoin's.
I'm looking at $35.41.63
right now. Oh, man, even worse. Oh, okay. So just to let you know how the experiment's going, we've been tracking this thing on a regular basis on the show since 2013. Here we are almost at 2019. And 2018 has been a disaster for the cryptocurrency of note. Also, it was 1 year ago this weekend that the FCC literally killed the internet. I'm serious, y'all. The internet's going to be dead if we repeal net neutrality. Well, net neutrality has now been gone for an entire year. And I can go recap and tell you what GQ, NBC News, CNN, New York Times all said that this was going to disrupt the internet, or you were going to pick up your phone in the morning, try and get the news and say you will have to upgrade to our premium membership to see the news, or well, whatever. Paywalls were going to go everywhere. Turns out internet speeds have increased 40% during the year of 2018. And this is according to a recent report by Recode. So we told you the repeal of net neutrality wasn't going to be a big deal. Seems like things are still going fine without it. Anything to add to that?
No, it's exactly what we expected would happen. It would improve, get better.
See, but some people told us the exact opposite. Some people said they were going to pull up the drawbridge. All investments and upgrades of your speed were going to immediately stop once the repeal happened. And they couldn't have been just wrong. They were 180 degrees wrong. New investments flowed into infrastructure, into upgrading our speeds. And now what are we doing right now in America? Yeah. We're rolling out 5G.
Well, you know, I had made some comments about it and was a member of one of these neighborhood apps, and I was being harassed about it.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah, I was too.
So I deleted it. I've never picked it back up. I get my information through somebody else.
I've about stopped with the Nextdoor app. I know. Yeah. All you've lost your dog. I got it.
I deleted it. So, and part of that is just, you know, whatever. Don't harass me about my opinion. No, mine was right.
How do you get someone excited enough about something as banal as net neutrality that they become an online activist for it? I mean, if you throw a rock out the window, the person you hit probably doesn't even know what net neutrality is.
Where are we at on time?
Plenty of time.
Okay, well, let's look at the numbers real quick.
All right, let's... we're having a good show.
You're handicapped this time.
Yeah, I don't have the laptop okay, in front
I'll
of
go
me.
Over my, well, look, here's... Mm-hmm. The important parts of what was going on today, looking at the S&P 500, we were looking at where is that going to hold, and it tried to move up and hit resistance at 2600, basically. I think the second time hit 2602, stalled, and then it was Katie bar the door. It was getting ugly and going to continue downward after that. So the S&P 500 finished at 2545.94. That's 2.08% negative downward movement. The Dow was 23592.98. That's down 2.11%. NASDAQ was off 2.27%. Russell, negative 2.32%. That number was 137814. Just an ugly day. Well, as far as 10-year treasury goes, 2.857. I'd call that really flat. Crude oil, hey, below 50, $49.31 a barrel. Brent crude at 58.66.
It's starting to get a little too cheap there, Gregory.
On crude?
Yeah, where it starts to drag on our economy around here in the oil producing states.
Well, you know, I was liking it at 50.51. I like it better at 49. This is interesting. You know, the cartel got together. Oh, we're going to make some changes. Well, it's going down.
They're going to have a hard time paying their bills at $49.
Yeah, I have to look at some charts. Maybe we'll talk about it tomorrow and see where this, just kind of see if we can get an idea where this might be going. Gold, $1,249.40. An ounce in silver at $14.73. Heck, it's moved up a little bit.
Okay, so we go to the short sheet. There's a lot of losers out there. The biggest one today, I don't know the story behind this one, but it looks like Twitter is our big loser for the day. They get a bad report, 6.8% in the negative. That is an awful day.
I don't know what happened. Did Trump say he's going to quit using it or something?
Boy, he's really just keeping that whole operation afloat. He is their MVP. But when you look at some of these other techs, look at what Amazon's at. It lost 4.5% today, but it's at $1,500. $1,520 is where it's at. But wasn't that at $2,000 just, I don't know, 4 months ago?
Not long ago, yeah.
Well, so that's not just in bear. That's a big bear territory. But Amazon's one of these companies like Facebook where they just have another billion people who are waiting to get on the internet and be their customers. So as giant as they are, they still have room to grow, which is kind of weird in the business world. But
And this stuff could continue to get cheaper.
I wouldn't dare tell anyone to buy Amazon right now at $1,520, but it's certainly off of its high.
Well, there was on the market today, there's a little bit of buying right at the end. I don't know what that's going to shape up to tomorrow, but we'll see in the morning.
Okay, let's do a best call of 2018. Can I start with number four here, Angie? Best calls of 2018.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Paul Metairie, you're next up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Paul?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had a question. I recently found out that my wife has an old retirement account that I kind of didn't know about. It's about 10 years old, and I found out that it's about $20,000 in it, and apparently it's all in bonds. We don't really know exactly when it was switched all 100% bonds. And I was kind of wondering if you had a suggestion what I should do with it or what she should do with it.
Okay, glad you clarified that on she. So this was kind of forgotten money and y'all just came across it again?
Yeah.
And this was an old employer's plan?
Yeah, correct. She hasn't worked at that company for about 10 years now. She is right now a stay-at-home mom. And,
okay.
I have my own retirement account, and but we are married now.
Okay. She has two options. Now, if she was working for another company that had a retirement plan, a 401k, she could have rolled that money to the current plan, but she's not working for a company that has a company plan. So the other two choices are she could leave the money there at the old 401k, or you could roll it over to an IRA account. And you have a huge amount of choices, and that you could, and it'd be a direct rollover from the 401k to a rollover IRA account. You've got a whole bunch of options.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
As far as 401ks go, you know, that's one of the options if you're currently working, and it depends on the variety of choices that the plan has. Some can be vast, some can be as few as 10. And you have to know that option, but then what it came down to, she could still leave the money there where it was or move it to an IRA. And that's where you really open up a lot of choices. And I like having that option.
How often do you see the people that have money at an old plan that they've left? And I don't mean they just lost their job earlier this year. I mean, basically forgotten money.
A lot. Every month. I can't say every week. But definitely every month we see cases like that.
You ever see a 20-year-old 401k? One that's been abandoned for 20 years?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, 504-260-0995. We will be continuing with the best calls of 2018, but you can be in there too. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Welcome. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, your wallet's favorite show. I'm your wallet's favorite co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation and you are not quite sure what to do, call Gregory, 504-260-0995. If you have a financial problem that probably needs more help than just a phone call, Gregory's a Hall of Fame financial advisor. He's got a day job, GregoryRicks.com. We'll get you in touch with his offices. And we have another live event coming up January 16th. That's Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. Ruth's Chris in Metairie, Wine, Wisdom, and Food. And Gregory's going to combine his love of making money with his love of drinking and really talking about wine. I mean, it's its own. It's not just drinking. It's the whole storylines behind it and how it's made and where this vine came from and where how this fella snuck it out of Italy or, you know. But they all get combined into one event. And
yeah, so it's a fun event, learning some of everything there, food, wine, and money. And Wes Blanchard is going to be there to share three concepts that you probably should know regarding estate planning.
All right. So you got a RSVP for that. Signups are already coming down the transom. You hear the promos running. Call the office, 504-832-9200. So back to the best calls of 2018. I want to do John and Jackson. This is number 5, Angie.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
John Jackson, you're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. Let's see if we can help you out. John, what's up?
I'm just wondering what your opinion is on liquidating assets, you know, investment assets to pay off a mortgage. Where's the tipping point with, say, I think I've got about a 4% 30-year mortgage, and I'm about probably 60% equity in about $140,000 or so remaining balance, and probably $500,000 in, you know, liquidatable investments of various sorts.
Okay, so what? Tell us a little bit more about those investable assets. Is that after tax assets, or are we talking about
that's
IRAs?
No. Cash on hand, stocks, mutual funds.
Okay. How much emergency savings? How much emergency savings do you have?
Cash on hand, probably.
Yeah.
Probably a couple hundred thousand in cash.
What type of return are you getting on that cash?
On the same kind everybody else is.
Not much.
You know, 0.5% or something.
Hey, I got 3 pennies last quarter. Y'all don't laugh.
Yeah. So I know where you can get a 4% return on $40,000. It's called your mortgage. So it depends on your liquidity, what you're purposing this cash for. It doesn't sound like you need to move or sell stocks or such unless you're wanting to dial that back because of volatility and feeling a little exposure. Maybe I should shift that money. And that's an instant 4% return paying off that mortgage. Your other choice is that's not a bad rate where things are going. You're not like out there with a ridiculous 4% mortgage where mortgage rates are at 1.5%. We're not in that world anymore. So the other option could be, can you accelerate that as well to pay that off? Would that suit what you're trying to accomplish? But being you have that kind of cash, it's something to look at. That's a instant 4% return knocking that out. So if you want another way to look at it, well, just add up the interest you're paying over the remaining 10 years or such that's on the balance of that mortgage, whatever that timeline is. And how is this going to affect your ability to retire and generate income? That's some of my thoughts on things I would be looking at if it was me.
Okay.
That help you out, John?
A little bit.
Yep. Well, John, if you've got just the cash in the bank waiting, what's the holdup? Why haven't you done this already?
Well, just because trying to keep cash on hand for, you know, just for a emergency, you know, trying to always have an emergency fund available. And
well, you have a big one.
You have
a big one. Here's on the other side of it. I don't see a problem with the 4%, and you've got the ability at any time to write a check and pay it off. I don't know your overall situation. You know, I don't know that I would necessarily write that check, but I'm not in your exact situation to know, knowing. And I think you're just trying to justify it whether or not. And one reason to carry that debt or have some there is because you've got the liquid money for what if all things go to heck and Hades, you know, and that's one reason I don't have a problem with equity lines of credit for a horrible scenario that comes up. But otherwise, I'm not an advisor or guide that likes creating debt and carrying debt. But there is reasons to have it also that are justifiable. Hopefully that helps, John. Thanks for the call.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
You know, at the end where I talked about that 4% carrying that loan, I don't necessarily think that's a bad idea, because on the other side, if you're wanting to create options, okay, you've paid off the mortgage, then you might be, well, should I go with it? Get an equity line of credit in case I need that money. If just something catastrophic happens, I still have access to it. So as far as if his income and world still goes, just let that 4% money go and just keep riding along. That is not some bad deal as far as interest rates have gone.
Now that call, we're doing best calls of 2018. That was from sort of toward the beginning of the year. I believe that was a call from March. And interest rates have gone up a whole percent since then. Does that change the math much?
Kind of makes it more on hanging on to that debt in that case. Now, he has the comfort. It could be that, you know, he doesn't like debt. And a lot of people have the mindset, oh, I've got to be completely paid off. It just is going to be part of the math is how is your cash flow going in to retirement and what are you needing the options for?
All right. We're going to do a few calls here that deal with Social Security. Next, let's do number 3 here, Angie.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Karen, New Orleans, you're going to be next up. How can we help you, Karen?
I'm on widow's benefits as my only income. I should have asked Social Security, but I haven't yet. Am I allowed to go back to work part-time and make some taxable dollars?
What is your age, Karen?
Next week, I'll be 62.
62 and you're good.
Just hold off working for about 7 days.
Yeah, so you can go ahead, start the application, finding work to do. When you started at 60, there's an income threshold that would negate the widow's benefits. But at 62, as far as what we kind of define that, that's like full retirement age for widow's benefits at age 62. So you should not have any income problems regarding adding income at age 62.
All right, and file taxes on it, and I'll be all right.
Yeah, of course, file everything that you're supposed to when it comes tax time. Don't leave anything out, but If you want to, if you have some further questions regarding that rules, you can call the office and speak to my team about it. But I have very high confidence, because we cover this all the time on Widows Benefits, is to continue that. And then you're going to have an option to switching to your benefits at full retirement age. But where you'd have a negative effect if you were on your benefits, but not on Widows Benefits starting at age 62 and up.
Any questions there, Karen?
Right. Thank you so much.
Hey, Gregory, is this one
of those? Thank you for the call.
Is this one of those situations where it matters if it's earned or passive income?
We're talking about earned income affecting it, not passive income. And if she was trying to work at 60 and doing this, there would be, depending on income, some impact.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Now, I always love taking the Social Security calls, because it's just something on this show that we own. Gregory's handing out this information like candy, and I don't hear any other show doing it. I don't hear any columnists. I don't see anybody else in the New Orleans or Gulf South area, and that's made us a hot spot. I mean, some of our best calls are Social Security calls. In fact, we're going to try and get through a couple more of these today, but it just gets so complicated, because there's regular Social Security, and then there's Social Security spousal, and then there's Social Security widows, but the widows spousal, and you mix all these things together. And it's so hard to find the information, even if you go online to ssa.gov. And Gregory's explained how you have to put three different worlds of Social Security together to come up with some of these answers. And that's just, I mean, are you shocked it's not that easy to do on a government website? Try and piece together the answer to a question like what Karen brought to you?
Well, you have so many scenarios and different rules that overlap. And as far as having an understanding of how Social Security work is the base core rules. Then you have to think about those variations on top of that to get to the answers.
Where'd you get all this Social Security knowledge? There's not a Social Security class over at Delgado or anything. I mean, some of it's reading books, some of it's going to conventions. Is there a book you could recommend? I mean, but even if there was, if it's 4 years old, it's outdated.
One of the best resources is SSA.gov, but also going there, there's not one area you can say, okay, now I've read this, I completely understand it, because the pages you go to are going to connect to others, because there's twists on the situation, and it's a lot of rules, it's complicated, and that's why we're the go-to source for that.
All right, we have some more of the best calls of 2018 straight ahead. If you want to get your call in, we are live today. Yeah, it's December 17th. We're live. 504-260-0995, or you can give us a call from the front screen of the Winning at Life app, or a text. Go ahead and download that app. It's got our podcast on it as well. Another reminder that tomorrow on the show, 7:05, we will have an interview with Treasurer John Schroeder about what's going on with your money in Baton Rouge, and a couple other fun things that we can throw at him. In the meantime, stay right there. More of the best calls of 2018 coming up. I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks, your wallet's favorite show. I'm your co-host, James Parker. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, better call Gregory, 504-260-0995, or you give us a call from the Winning It Life app. And we're in the middle of best calls of 2018, but I think we'll take a live one. And this counts as one of the best calls of 2018, I hope. This is Anthony, Goshen, Mississippi. You're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Anthony?
Yes, sir. I'm calling because I am being offered insurance by my employer. I'm 66 years old, and I just went back to work. And I want to know if I should keep my Medicare or go with my employer's insurance.
Well, if you have an employer plan, that becomes your primary, and Social Security will be your secondary. Well, what we're speaking of is Medicare benefits will be your secondary benefit.
Should I even keep the Medicare at all, or should I and just go with?
Well, the Part B is where you're paying a premium on
right,
that.
Right, and I also have a supplement and a drug plan.
How long are you going to be with this employer?
There's no telling.
What's your outlook?
Well, I want to go the distance with them, you know.
And you're 66, and the distance is from now on?
Short, of course, but, you know, I mean, they don't really have a mandatory retirement age out there.
Okay. Well, that's part of your decision if you're going to turn off. Here's one thing. I would talk to the Medicare administration about the turning off on this based on that.
I've been told that once I leave, I can go right back onto Medicare Part B or whatever it is. And I could, I'd have to purchase a supplement, of course, like I have now. Or I could just stay with Medicare and not take my employer's health care plan.
Yeah, so that would depend, the effect would be, well, is the employer plan costing you money? Because your supplement may well be costing you money.
It's going to be $55 a week.
Okay, so you can look at the math of that.
Well, yeah, the math is in favor of the Medicare, because the Medicare has a lower deductible that you have to meet every year. That's the only real advantage.
Well, then I would stay with the Medicare plan in that case.
Okay. Yeah, but of course, I've heard people say any private insurance is better than what the government furnishes. There's some doctors that won't take Medicare.
I guess they could refuse it, but if they do treat you, they have to accept it in that case. I don't see people saying, oh, I retired and now I can't see a doctor or anything. I never have conversations like that. I've never had a client say, yeah, I retired. Now I don't get to see my doctor anymore.
Yeah.
I don't see that as a problem whatsoever.
Yeah. So in other words, it sounds like you're leaning towards just keep the Medicare and reject the employer's health plan.
And one reason is employer plan's going to cost you more money. You already have the coverage and you have the supplement for what doesn't cover there. So,
and I'm helping you pay for the Medicare one, Anthony. I'm not going to help you any if you go back to the private sector insurance plan. You're not going to get a dime from me.
Yeah. Well, I realize that. Yeah. But, I just figured, maybe the employer's plan is more widely accepted. I just figured it was maybe better coverage, but, it's hard to compare. I've only run across one or two doctors that won't take Medicare so far.
Yeah, I talk to retirees and people in that demographic every day, and I've never had a complaint about that this government program doesn't work. It's one that does. We don't know about a decade from now, and there's a limited number of days, and also you can kind of compare the benefits. But from a price standpoint, it's better for you to stay.
Do what now?
From a price standpoint, you said it's better for you to stay.
Yeah. Well, I've got to make a decision by January 1st, so
okay.
I guess I'll think about that. They also automatically enroll you into their health plan as a single, in my case, single, as a smoker. You have to go into their benefits website or whatever and change that. But I suppose I can just reject it altogether.
I've never heard of that.
They automatically enroll you in their 401k at 1%. So I guess they offer a 50-cent per dollar match on the second 4%. So I guess that's worth getting involved in.
Yep, you can continue to add money to that as long as you keep working there in the 401k.
Well, the market's not doing too good as of what I've heard today, so it makes you...
Well, it's not been... there's more than just today's the problem. This was a bad day, but it's been looking bad for a while. And if you've been a listener to the show, I've been kind of saying this thing's headed further down.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. Yeah. So would that mean it's a bad time to get into a 401k?
Well, it might not be a good time to put it into equities. You can put the money in the 401k, but you can put it in a stable value or money market-like account and just let it set until that time comes when it's good to start buying.
Yeah, so you won't lose money and you can still get the match.
Yeah, so you can still do that, just don't have it invested in anything at this time.
Yeah, you have to do kind of a deep dive to find out what your investment options are with these people. You have to pull the sheets back and see what's really going on with them.
Yeah, but they have some wording that it's not specific across all plans, but when Gregory threw out a bunch of words and I looked at my plan, it was in there. I think mine was called stable value.
Yeah, and you can get money in there, getting to work, get that match, and start piling some up, and then, and you're no rush to invest, that's for sure, right now, and you can figure out what the choices are, and keep listening to the show, and we'll talk about when things improve.
All right, Anthony, thank you very much for your call. If you want to be next, 504-260-0995. We can return here now to the best calls of Winning at Life in 2018. Let's do number six, Angie.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Ron from NOLA. He has a Social Security question.
I'm 74 years old. I have not quit working and paying into Social Security. Now, I draw my Social Security, but I haven't seen any increase in the entire time I've been working. It hasn't gone up, even though I'm still contributing.
Okay. When did you file for Social Security benefits? When did that start? You there, Ron?
I never stopped working.
Okay, but when did you start Social Security benefits?
I think at the age of either 66 or 67.
Okay.
But I'm still paying in. I never stopped paying Social Security. And right. I understand that. Anymore.
And, well, you are receiving cost of living adjustments. There are benefits because that is recalculating every year. Now, it's not like you're adding a bunch of money on, because they look basically at your last 35 years and it's averaged and it's actually multi-tiered in how they credit. It's kind of complicated, but you are getting credits to that. And if you want to verify, call and ask them, but this isn't like you're getting huge jumps every year because you're working past that, but you are adding on because these are probably larger earnings years, I'm assuming, than when, say, your first 10 years of Social Security there.
Yeah, and when
you are getting credits.
Yeah, you get that cost of living increase. A lot of that is eaten up by your increase in Medicare premiums, right? Sometimes that's a wash, too.
Yeah.
Telly, Gulfport, it looks like you're going to be last up on Winning It Live for Gregory Ricks. Thank you for your call, by the way, Ron.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Now, I like that call because he started off saying, I haven't gotten any increases. And then he's like, all right, well, it's been very little. Because you called out, hey, you are getting cost of living increases. And he kind of had to relent. Boy, he was on fire at the beginning. He was upset. That check wasn't getting bigger.
Yeah, it is a little bit, but it's going to be incremental on the back end. It depends on the years that may drop off, but you're putting in. You're being credited for it. It's just not going to be leaps.
His expectations were not in line with reality. He wanted to keep working. At least my check's going to get bigger. And he gets that cost of living increase and a couple bucks here and there. That's what he was upset about. It's because his expectations did not meet reality.
Yeah, the last couple years of the total 35 or 40 that you've worked, it's not very impactive there, even with replacing lower years.
Well, good news for Ron is next year the cost of living increase is going to be higher than it's been in quite a while.
Yeah.
So it may actually be a little more noticeable, and when he calls in next, he'll only be half as irate, I think. All right, we're going to continue with the best calls from Winning at Life in 2018. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you can give us a call live right now. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We're Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back, Winning at Life. A daily wrap. Yes, we do this every evening at 7. Hey, we have a weekend show, 10 to 1, live financial talk as well. The phone number is 504-260-0995. If you want to know a little bit more about your host, that's me, Gregory Ricks. Go to my website, gregoryricks.com.
All right, we're going through the best calls of 2018 on Winning It Life. I have one more Social Security call, but you want to stick around because the last call we're going to go over is Steve. He's a reverse mortgage skeptic, and he's not all wrong. But first, let's do number two here, Angie.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Glenda Mandeville, you're going to be next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Glenda?
Okay, thanks for the call. Thank you for taking my call, rather. I had a question about, okay, I'm a retired state worker. My husband received SSI because of an injury he had 20-some years ago. But he's approaching 65, and they said at 65 he would have to apply for regular Social Security for his age, because he did work and he does have it. So would I be able to apply as well?
Going back to him, he's drawing SSI, so his full retirement age is 65, if yes. That's accurate. That actually is an automatic switch over in the month where he reaches full retirement age. He doesn't have to go do anything to switch over to Social Security. It's just basically what they're switching is the basket money's coming out of. So he's taking it out of Social Security Disability Income Trust, but once he's FRA, he's taking it out of, or they're paying him out of the Social Security Trust Fund in that case. Now, how does that apply to you, Glenda?
Wondering, can I apply for Social Security as well?
Well, are you still working?
No, I'm retired, state retired.
Did you ever pay into Social Security?
I did pay some, but he paid a lot.
Okay.
And he was receiving a supplemental from an insurance company, and at the time they told him that once he reached retirement age that the money he was getting from the supplemental disability, that that would automatically go into his regular Social Security.
Yeah, so basically they're going to probably stop paying him that supplemental benefit, and that's where they're looking at it from an FRA standpoint, full retirement age, that his Social Security benefit would turn on then, and that would negate the supplemental benefit, but he's been drawing that already because of Social Security disability income. You're affected by the windfall elimination provision because you don't have many quarters paid in, and whether you're taking it on your record or on his, you're going to have a reduction of benefits. And there is a formula for that. And you also should speak to Social Security to get a guideline on what you're capable of receiving. But you can go to ssa.gov or do a Google search that'll lead you there. Windfall elimination provision. That's the document you need to refer to and how it's going to affect you. They do have a calculator on the website as well. Best of luck on that, Glenda. Thanks for the call.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
That may be one of the most complicated calls of 2018, because that's exactly what we were talking about in the last segment. This is Social Security retirement overlapping with Social Security disability, overlapping with the rules for spousal benefits, overlapping with the rules for the windfall elimination provision.
Yeah, and she's not going to get very much because of the windfall elimination, and if he moves on before her, his check will be drastically affected that he would leave behind to her.
But that's four different overlapping factors of Social Security that you have to weave into one answer there.
And yeah, I thought that was really good. Good call. Great call. Solid advice.
Okay, let's do one more here. I love this. I love the cut of Steve's jib here. This is number one, Angie.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Steve in Van Cleve.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for all you do. I'm in a fairly good situation. The Lord has blessed me quite well. But I hear you guys touting the reverse mortgage quite a bit. And to just an old simple guy, country guy like me, it seems like you're selling like a $350,000 house at a reverse mortgage for $200,000. Why would you drop such a value in something you could sell and do a reverse mortgage on it? These guys are not going to advertise or try to do anything unless they're making a pretty good bit of money on this thing. Am I being too simplistic?
They are making some compensation. There is money for them to do this, but you're not selling your house. It is your retirement home, the home you want to stay in. If there's both you and your spouse, both should be on the reverse mortgage. You both need to be over 72. What you're doing is making use of that equity in the home. How I look at it is to supplement your retirement income. And neither of you, if you're both on the reverse mortgage, neither of you can be put out of the home because there isn't payments to miss. You still have to keep up your taxes, keep up your insurance. on it, but you're not selling the home. You're using that equity to create an income flow. Now, they do lump sums. There's reverse purchase where you can use a reverse mortgage to purchase a home so that you don't have a payment, a little more complicated. But that's really what we're looking at, is how can you take cash systematically out of that and live there? Does that help, Steve?
Am I correct, though, as far as a $350,000 house going for $200,000?
No, you're not. It's still... No, if the reverse mortgage is valued, say, at $200,000, but we're not lump summing it out. We're starting, say, the monthly distributions to you. How I like to see it done is $1,000 a month. So at the end of the year, plus interest, you've got $12,000 plus interest that's been extracted from that. So, yeah, you've created a loan balance on the reverse of $12,000. And the next year, it's $24,000. Then next is $36,000, then $48,000. You've not pulled $200,000 out. Now, if you're doing a lump sum, you're taking two, in your scenario, you're saying we're taking $200,000 out. You're not selling the house for $200,000. You still have a $350,000 house. Both of you die, there's a $350,000 value. Yet, let's say you've taken the $200,000 out, there's still $150,000 in equity there for whoever that house is being left to or goes through the estate succession process. You did not sell it for $200,000. You just made use of $200,000 of the value.
I understand. Well, thank you for clearing that up for me.
Okay. Awesome. Glad we could be of help.
Yeah. Steve, there's no one else you can call, so I'm glad you called us. Sort of proving our point there. Yeah, and what we've also learned, not from the commercials and not even from studying in books, but just from real life, seeing it happen in front of her face, is the kids almost never want the house. They're just going to liquidate it and pay off that reverse mortgage and keep the proceeds beyond that anyway. You want to stick with phones here? You got another thing to add?
Yeah, I just want to, because here's, you kind of, and a lot of people think, well, I want my kids to have the home. They don't necessarily want it. But also there's this balance, is we don't want to be a burden on our kids. We want to be able to sustain life financially, and this enables you to do that. But, you know, you might consider it a family discussion when you decide to do this.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Oh, I was worried about me for a moment there if I was going to get through to him.
Well, we have about 20 of those calls with the exact same approach. Steve was probably just my favorite one. The reverse mortgage skeptic. You know, and it comes at us through a few different angles. The most common one, though, is people say, look, I've seen the commercials. Tell me what I'm missing.
You know, one of the things he said, well, they're obviously making money. Yeah, but they're usually running them at night. Commercial time is a lot less. Well, it's no different than Ford. About every F-150 that comes off the line, they're banking about $9,700. Oh, they're selling a lot of them. They advertise. Yeah, because they're making money and they're selling them. Reverse mortgages has fees. Somebody's helping you is getting paid to do so. It might be something that mightn't be negotiable. Always ask. You buy an F-150, you're going to pay window sticker? Well, maybe if you're buying a Raptor, but if you're buying, I don't know the model names, it's a Lariat or whatever. Yeah, they'll probably knock some money off that deal. So, but once again, there is a benefit to you. You can pull income out of that house. You can pull value out of that house and make use of it if you need the money. It is there for you.
Yeah, and in his scenario, the $350,000 house, he takes $200,000. When he does pass away with the reverse mortgage, you get sold, that reverse mortgage get paid off, and there could still be some money. Whatever's left over can still go to your heirs, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
could work the other way. You beat the bank.
Does that happen much?
No.
Okay. All right, that's going to about do it for the show. Thank you very much for hanging out with us. Your home away from the show is winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. Don't forget Gregory's day job, Hall of Fame financial advisor. Would love to take a look at your financial situation. Home for Gregory is gregoryricks.com, and the office number is 504-832-9200. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.